You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Happy Mother's Day. It is awesome. And we are excited, yes, about being here, our moms, those online, connecting with us, Cyprus and Siena and downtown as well. And it's so good to be together in this time. You know, Mother's Day is a special, special day. And it's got a lot of hallelujahs, but there's also some hurts with Mother's Day that happens too. So whether you are in the hallelujah section or in the kind of the hurt healing section, we want you to know that you are loved, you are cared for. As a lady, just as a lady in general, we just want you to know how loved and cared for you are. It's Mother's Day. What a joy. I have been working all week long to try to mix Revelation and Mother's Day together. And I'm just really glad I'm not at the section where there's a beast coming out of the sea with seven heads, okay? That would have been really hard to be able to figure out. We are in heaven is where we are in the journey through Revelation. We've only got a couple weeks left. So next week, we're going to hit it to the end of verse chapter 22. And then we're going to have a recap day on May 23rd, where we're going to hit that last verse of scripture. And then I'm going to recap it. And you can take all these months and put them down hopefully into 30 minutes. But we are so glad, digital family, you're with us, radio ministry as well. And we're so glad that you're here. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 22. As we look through this, we're going to see some amazing things. We've been journeying through heaven the last couple weeks, and it's been that the new Jerusalem has come to earth. It's not that we've gone up into the heavens and we're playing a harp on a cloud somewhere. It's that God has got a new creation, a new heaven, a new earth. And we saw the new Jerusalem come down last week. Streets of gold, river coming from the throne of God, this crystal river coming from the throne, great symbolism that true life and true thirst is quenched from the throne of Jesus Christ. Amazing, amazing thing to be able to see that happening. What a great thing. We've been able to see all of the jewels in heaven. And if you remember last week, I had you circle over and over the number 12 was throughout the section of scripture we looked at. We had that heaven had a symbolism for the 12 apostles of the New Testament. Also had symbolism for the 12 tribes of Judah, of Jacob, of Israel, I should say. And Judah's one of the tribes. The tribes of Israel. So we got 12 and 12. We had 12 gates. We had 12 jewels. We had all these different things that were going on. So I've been showing you, and I thought it would work on Mother's Day as well, some kid picture drawings I've been getting on the book of Revelation. And so I thought this one would be good, thinking about the 12. I don't know what I said that got that many 12s happening on the left-hand side there, but they got the point. 12 Jesuses, I'm not sure about. 12 gates, 12 apostles, 12 fruits, 12 plagues, 12 loaves, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12. Till finally on the right-hand side, they just finally just put 12 is an important number. I don't know what the pastor's talking about with 12, but it's an important number. So that was a little kid pick of last week. And now we're going to jump into this week, looking a little bit more into heaven. Look at verse 6, if you will, of chapter 22, verse 6. Here we go. It says, "Then he said to me," this is an angel saying this to John, "these are the words, these words are faithful and true. The Lord God of the spirits of the prophets has sent his angels to show his servants what must soon take place." Underline the word soon when you see it. Soon take place. Verse 7, "Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down and worshiped at the feet of the angel who had shown them to me." That stops at verse 8, and then we'll take the rest in just a bit. So here we have that John is having a vision again. Going through the whole thing's a vision. But to be able to see an angel here that's leading him and says, "These words are faithful and true. I've shown you these things of heaven. Now I'm going to give you some ways to live." Here's what I want you to know. Heaven is our inspiration, not just our destination. Heaven is our inspiration, not just our destination. Now, as a believer in Christ, if you trusted Christ as your Savior, received his free gift of grace to wash you clean, to forgive your sins, then you can be assured that heaven is your destination. But God doesn't want heaven to just be our destination. He wants it to be our inspiration of how we live on earth. so that when we have a loved one that goes to heaven, we can grieve, no doubt about it, but also say, Lord, thank you that there's heaven. So now let me live my life for you even in that way, knowing that heaven is coming for us, that we can live our life in inspiration of giving other people encouragement to go to heaven as well. Do you know that your job is not just about your job? Your marriage is not just about your marriage. Your stuff's not just about your stuff. Your gifts are not just about your gifts. Your talents are not just about your talents. It's to inspire the things that God has given us, to inspire us that there is a heavenly place. There is a greater place. There is a place of all of eternity. So heaven is a place of inspiration, not just destination. It's been said like this before, whoever makes the most difference on earth, on this earth, is the one that's thinking about the next place that they're going. The person that makes the greatest difference here is thinking about the next place they're going there. So it's inspiration for us to live for God, knowing that all of eternity, you know, your time on earth is like a pencil dot on a line a million miles long. That's our time on earth. But knowing that heaven is before us, we can be inspired to live for God and say, thank you, Lord, that I am going there in destination as a believer, but I'm also inspired to live for your things here on earth. We don't want to waste our time on earth when we've got our rewards coming in heaven. So what are a couple things that your heavenly father and your earthly mother want you to know? This is a couple things I want to give you. Your heavenly father and your earthly mother want you to, number one, keep God's word. Keep God's word. It says in the Bible that I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. So let me just tell you, kids, even if you're a kid that's 50, to be able to realize this, what does your heavenly father want? What does your earthly mother want? Here's what they want, for you to keep God's word. What would that be if we kept God's word? Now, I'm going to show you the scripture in just a second. I want you to understand this Greek word of keep, though. It's a Greek word, like when we use the phrase, let me put it in kind of today's language for us. Who's keeping the kids? So if you go on a vacation, somebody comes up to you and they say, oh, well, you've got kids at home. Who's keeping the kids? Now, what do they mean by keeping the kids? They mean this. This is the Greek word of how it would be defined. It means to guard, to watch over, to hold, to protect, to save, to preserve, right? So it's keeping the kids. It's not just keeping them fed. It's not just keeping them in the house. It's watching over them. It's realizing the preciousness of them. It's keeping them. So it's saying in this place, I want you to keep God's word. Look at what it says. If you'll look in verse 7, it says, blessed is the one. That's the sixth time, number six, the sixth blessing that we get in Revelation. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophet. Amazing, right? Look down at verse, we'll get there in a bit, but verse 9 even says, those who keep the words of this book and worship God. So the first part here, it says to keep the word of God. And so I just ask us as a challenging question to our heart, are we preserving? Are we holding? Is it holding us? Are we keeping as a precious possession, keeping the word of God? Now, all of us wish that we could read the Bible more than we do. And all of us believe that we should be making more time to read the word. All of us could do a better job, okay? No question. Me, I could do a better job. If you remember at the beginning of the year, I told you I was listening to the Bible in 1 year. So I'm reading the Bible each day, but I thought I'm going to listen to it and see if I can get through the Bible audio in a year. I think it's day like 100 and something, you know, now. I'm on day 32, okay? So I did not, as your pastor, even make it out of January on listening to the entire Bible, though. So all of us could do better, okay? Now, I want you to know I have read the Bible since January, okay? I am faithful in the Word each day. Just that route did not work out for me quite as well as I was hoping it would work out. So I'm still trying to go through, okay? Just keep going. Are we keeping the Word, though? You think about our society. What are a lot of the problems with our society is we've tossed the word, right? Ten Commandments. Who needs those? Shump. Bible, what? Shump. I mean, we've asked the question many times in our church. I brought it out in messages. What if we just obeyed God in regards to sex? How would that change our society? I mean, just that one thing would change everything, right? be no rape. There'd be no molestation. There would be no unwanted pregnancies. There'd be no abortion. I mean, if we just kept God's word in just that one area, what if we kept it? So are we keeping God's word? So on this Mother's Day, let's ask the question, are you keeping God's word? Your mama wants that for you. And your Heavenly Father wants that for you. This summer, will you take your Bible on vacation with you? Does your Bible look brand new and you've owned it for years? Do you have your Bible even with you right now at church? Do you write in it and underline things? Do you see things? Digital family, is your Bible anywhere in the house right now as you're watching online? As we keep the Bible, it affects our society for sure, and we can always blame society, but let's let it begin with us and keep the Bible. It's so important to keep the Bible. I want you to know as a church, we're a relevant, biblical community. That's how we define ourselves. Relevant, we want to be for today, connect with today. Biblical is a centerpiece community that we build relationships. So just so you'll know in our church, I thought of just seven different things to just tell you. In our student ministry, we don't teach sexual purity from a worldview or from the world's point of view. We teach it from a biblical point of view. In finances, we're not trying to get everybody to read the Wall Street Journal. We're trying to get everybody to follow the scriptures of what's happening. In our ethnos class, we're not using critical race theory. We're talking about the Bible's view of how to walk out loving your neighbor and making a difference with people that are different than you. In our missions ministry, we're not saying, well, what's the United Nations doing today? We're looking to Matthew 28 to say, go into all the world and to make disciples. Do you see the difference? In our worship ministry, it isn't supposed to be 30 minutes of Christian karaoke. It's supposed to be a lifting up of Jesus because the Bible tells us to worship God, we'll see in just a moment, to lift up the name of Jesus. So we want to keep to the word. As moms and dads, we're not following fads of trying to parent. We realize biblically we are the primary disciplers of our children. As a church and as Christians, we keep the word. And so this is what's told to John at the end of Revelation, keep the word. You will be blessed if you keep the word. Number two, what does your heavenly father and earthly mother want you to know? This is the second thing, to worship God. Worship God. Did you see what it said in verse 8 and 9? He bows down and he worships the angel. Now, that happened previously in Revelation. John should have learned his lesson because the angel told him that, don't worship me. I'm a servant of God just like you. He worships the angel, and the angel says, don't worship me. I want you to worship God. Look, if you will, into verse 9. But he said to me, don't do that, because he falls down and worships at his feet. I am a fellow servant with you. Your brothers, the prophets, he brings in even the Old Testament here, those who keep the words of this book, period, worship God, exclamation point. I love when you get two words in a sentence. It's just as clear as it can be, right? Worship God, exclamation point. So what are we to do? What's your mom want for you? What's your heavenly father want for you? Is that you would worship God. God, John is overwhelmed with heaven and he bows down and he worships the Lord. Worships the angel, and the angel says, don't worship me, worship God. And he's so overwhelmed, then he's gonna worship God as well. So worshiping the Lord, John is overwhelmed in worship. What happens in life when you get overwhelmed? Worship God, right? What's going to help you when you've got that day that is too big for you to handle? Worship God. I remember recently I was just sat down before the day had even started. I was sitting down in a little chair and I was like, okay, Lord, I feel like I've got more to do than I can get done. And you know what? The Lord took me through. I said, I'm just going to trust you with it and it's going to be great. And about 2 o'clock, I was done with everything that I really had to do. Other things I could do for sure, but God did stuff. Here's what I found. When I worship God, God's task list for me is shorter than my task list for me. What God finds important and needed to be done for the day is usually shorter than what I need to think I need to get done for the day. Because a lot of times we're finding our value from our to-do list. When if we find our value in Christ and worship Christ, then we realize our to-do list is actually inspiration from heaven to make a difference on earth. Do you see it? So keep the word and worship God. Have a proper focus. John's focus was on this angel, and he says, no, I want you to keep the word. Here's the focus. Keep the word and worship God. What does God want from your life and my life? What's your mama want for your life and my life? Worship God and keep the word. If you and I will keep the word and worship God, what happens? We'll be blessed. It's right there, the sixth time of blessing in verse 7. We'll get to the seventh and final time next week. Revelation, everybody thinks is like just all wrath, scary. It's seven blessings coming through the book of Revelation. And if you've been journeying with us, this book of study, it's been a blessing to us. It's been a blessing to us. Now, he tells them something else. Look in verse 10. I want to read verse 9 again, and then we're going to drop down into verse 10, and we're going to go to 13, and that's going to be our closing time. So let's hang with us. Here we go, verse 9. But he said to me, don't do that. Isn't that great? That's a good mom phrase, isn't it? Just, mom, you just need it. Don't do that. Why? It doesn't matter why. Don't do it, right? Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you, your brothers, the prophets, and those who keep, Cyprus, keep the word, keeps the words of this book. Worship God, Siena and downtown. Verse 10, then he said to me, don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this book because the time is near. Don't seal up the words of prophecy of this book because the time is near. Verse 11, let the filthy still be filthy. Let the righteous go on in righteousness and let the holy still be holy. Now, that's an interesting verse. Basically means people are going to do what people are going to do, okay? They're going to do their thing. We're still doing our thing. Verse 12, look, I am coming soon. It's the third time we've heard the word soon. We also heard his time is near. And my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Okay, next thing your heavenly father and your earthly mother want you to let the world know. Let the world know about the great things of God, about what takes place in this scripture, about how God is blessing your life, of how following him is a blessing. Let the world know, be inspired to walk with God in that. Where do I find that in the scriptures? John says, John is told, don't seal up the words of the prophecy. Verse 10, then the angel said to me, don't seal up the words of prophecy of this book because the time is near. He's saying, I want you to get these words of prophecy out there. Now, in the book of Daniel chapter 12, it was the opposite, 12:4 in the book of Daniel. But you, Daniel, Old Testament here, keep these words secret and seal the book until the time of the end. Many will roam about, knowledge will increase, all that goes on. Verse 9 of chapter 12, he said, go on your way, Daniel, for the words are secret and sealed until the time of the end. So Daniel was told to seal these words. Don't tell anybody yet. It's not the right timing. You remember when Jesus healed some folks? He said, don't tell anybody. Sealed. But in Revelation, let the world know. And what your mama and what your heavenly father want you to do is to live with joy that is expressed far beyond the joy that the world can give. And so now you're living like this instead of living like this. And to allow the sealing not to happen of your heart, but from your life, it says in the scriptures, from your life flows the wells, the spring of life, the rivers of life can flow. What a blessing. Don't seal the prophecy. Now, it gives us two other things I want to hit with you real quick. Jesus rewards faithfulness. He says, look, I am coming soon and my reward is with me. My reward is with me. You will be blessed when we keep the word and we worship God and we live our lives like this. And you will be rewarded even in heaven. We went through the Bema seat of Christ, B-E-M-A, and it's the word meaning judgment seat of Christ, that believers in Christ will receive rewards. And we want to have a stack of rewards, right? We want to live for eternal rewards, not just earthly rewards. So somebody that when they step into heaven, whoever it is, whenever they get there, to be able to know that God will reward them. When heaven itself is a reward, but also for the things that they've done for Christ. This world will quickly pass. But things done for Christ will truly last. And to have the rewards of heaven coming in our life, what an amazing thing. It feels so good to get an award, doesn't it? In this end of the school year, there's going to be award ceremonies. Somebody's going to get an award for this. Somebody's going to get an award for that. I remember one year our kids got an award for perfect attendance. And I leaned over to my wife and I said, we need to never win that award again. And she said, why? And I said, that means we have not done anything fun all year long to get the kids out of school. We didn't go on any vacations. We didn't do anything. So, but if that's your award, I think it's great. Okay. I love you. I love you. I love you. It's great. Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. But there's going to be all these awards that go on all over the place to be able to have that. It feels so good. But the rewards of heaven, how incredible will that be? Ladies, I hope that you feel, even in this day, whether you're a mom or not, just as a lady, I hope you just feel just a, we could just give you a bit of praise and just tell you that we love you and we appreciate you as a woman so much. You're so special, so incredible. And that could just be a tad of a reward for you, just to know you're loved and cared for deeply. But that's a thimble to what happens in heaven when Jesus says, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's a whole different ball game. Last one in this little section, Jesus holds the world and our lives together. Did you hear what he said? He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus holds the world together. Jesus holds our lives together. When you feel like life is falling apart, sometimes breakdown precedes breakthrough. And God can do something in our life and allow him to hold it together. It says in Colossians, I hold all things together. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is from eternity past to eternity future. And that's why we place our trust in him. Watch, on this dot on a line, trust Jesus. Because he's got the past taken care of and he's got the future taken care of. So in Cyprus or Siena or Digital Family or Radio Ministry or Downtown or Loop, trusting Christ is the Alpha beginning and Omega. Now here's what I found. I turned 50 this year. I found that I am a lot more tired than I used to be by the end of the day. You find that as you get older? I have not found that the older I get, the more energy I get, right? Sometimes you see, you know, younger folks, younger parents even, younger folks, you're like, man. I don't know, I'm ready to do that anymore. I remember when I'd see my folks or older folks and I'd say, so a Friday night of fun is like staying at home? And now I'm like, in Jesus' name, it is staying at home. Right? So, I mean, it's just different, right? So our Alpha, boom, 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 but our Omega, boom, 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 right? I wonder if moms, if maybe this is how you feel at the beginning of the day as a mom. Moms often start the day like this. This is Mary Poppins, right? Just, I mean, out of that bag comes all these things, Mary Poppins. And then if this is the Omega of your day here. It's a lady from Little Orphan Annie, right? Agatha Hannigan. So let's just see that picture one more time. Let's go back to Mary Poppins, just for emphasis, one more time. The beginning of the day, mom. The end of the day, mom. That's probably how it feels a bit, doesn't it? But yet Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. I was thinking about it today. He has as much energy today as he had when Moses was crossing the Red Sea. Is that incredible? He has as much energy and his love for you is as white hot as it was in the Garden of Eden, as it is today, as it will be in the second coming of Christ. His desire for you and excitement about your life is as much at the day of your birth as it is at the day of your death. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and he's white hot in his love through all the way through. Isn't that amazing to think about? You and I are on the decline, right? I hate to tell us that, but it's true. And those that aren't, you're not at that age yet, you're on the peak, it'll come. You just wait, okay? But he is always consistent. What does it say in Hebrews? For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So your earthly father wants you to know, your earthly mother wants you to know, your heavenly father wants you to know, Jesus will reward your faithfulness. Jesus holds the world together and holds our lives together as well. He's got it from beginning and end. Let me just give you a little comparison as we wrap up of Genesis and Revelation. In Genesis, I could give you all the scripture references, just believe me on it. Genesis, you've got heaven and earth created. Revelation, you have a new heaven and a new earth, beginning and end. In Genesis, you have the sun created. In Revelation chapter 21, we studied there's no need for a sun, for Jesus gives the light. Genesis, night is established. Revelation, there is no night. Genesis, the seas are created. Revelation, there's no more sea. The curse is announced in Genesis. There's no more curse, Revelation 22, verse 3. Death enters history in Genesis 3:19, and no more death in Revelation 21, verse 4. And your loved one that has died is living again in eternal life if they knew Jesus Christ as Savior. Alpha, Omega, beginning, end, first, and last. Genesis, Revelation. Man was driven from the tree in Genesis, and in Revelation 22, man is restored to the tree of life that bears fruit in every month, 12 fruits. And he's restored to paradise, driven from paradise. He's restored to paradise. Last sorrow and pain began in Genesis 3:17. And in Revelation 21, verse 4, every tear is wiped away. And there's no more pain, and there's no more death, and there's no more night, and there's no more curse in heaven. That's where your loved one is. Mom, that's where your loved one is. Dad, that's where your loved one is. Grandma, grandpa, friend, aunt, uncle, neighbor, cousin, whatever it is, that's where your loved one is. Isn't that great? We can only see this mid part. God sees the Alpha and he sees the Omega, and we see it in Genesis to Revelation lived out. Now, here's something that we've been saying all the way through my last point. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. The time is near. I showed you that, what, three times through there? Had you circle soon? Near right there. So I'm coming soon, he says in verse 7. He says further along, he says that the time is near in verse 7. He says in verse 12, look, I am coming soon. He says it again. And so all throughout this thing, we see that he's coming soon. He's coming soon. Now, we're not going to set a date. The Bible actually tells you not to set dates, right? That's the wrong way to do it. But to know that he is soon. So people ask me, do you think that we're closer today than we were last week to Jesus returning? I really do think we are closer today than we were last week. Does it take a big step to make that step? He's coming soon. He's coming soon. I found an article in the New York Times. Here was the title. I want you to get this. In the New York Times, and the title of the article was, When is Christ Coming? Signs of the Bible to Give Us a Clue. It said this, Jesus characterized that the mental state of the world just before he returned, that there would be, this is Luke chapter 21, there would be on the earth distress of the nations and perplexity. There would be pressure, the author says, pressure, perplexity, bewilderment. Well, we can see that in the world. Another thing will be with the moral state of mankind in the world. In Luke chapter 17, that here they are, it'll be like in the days of Noah. Do we see a moral decline in our world? Then we can see that in Matthew chapter 24, that the Bible indicates that there'll be ages of wars and rumors of wars and frequency and all of those sort of things. There'll be a great emphasis on peace in the world. We see also another example, this article goes on in Matthew 24. This is New York Times. It said, the gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached into all the world, will all the nations, and the end will come. Do you know that we're going to reach in the next few years, we're going to reach where Bible translation will hit every single place and every translation that is needed to complete Bible translation in the world? And our church is a big part of that. We've spent millions on helping the Bible being translated. Absolutely incredible. What we can do with the internet right now, some of you are watching online from who knows where. It's just boom, 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 boom. So all it goes, it can be, the gospel can be preached all over the world. New York Times, incredible how timely that is. written by Billy Graham, October 2nd, 1970. So when you were wondering, New York Times? What's that, 51 years ago? We're 51 years closer than when Billy Graham thought it was going to, you know. I mean, he didn't declare a date there, but just saying that it's happening. Jesus is coming soon. So here's what I want you to hear. Come to Christ. Live for Christ. Come to Christ if you're not a believer in Christ. And live for Christ if you are a believer for Christ. Because heaven is a destination, yes, and amen. But it's also inspiration because Jesus Christ is coming back. Absolutely incredible. And he's coming soon. He's coming soon. Are you keeping the word? Are you worshiping the Lord? Last quote I give you on Mother's Day, Washington Irving, who wrote Rip Van Winkle and The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. So he was kind of late 1700s to mid 1800s. So we've heard of those short stories. This was a quote that he gave, and I think you could use this for your earthly mother and you can use it for your heavenly father. We'll close with this. The love of a mother is never exhausted. It never changes. It never tires. It endures through all, in good repute, in bad repute. In the face of the world's condemnation, a mother's love still lives on. Isn't that true on Mother's Day? Now let me change it. The love of your heavenly Father is never exhausted. It never changes. It never tires. It endures through all. In good reputation, we could say in our sin, or excuse me, in our good things that we do, in bad repute, in our sin, in the face of the world's condemnation, when the world came against Jesus on the cross, Father's, a heavenly Father's love still lives on. Happy Mother's Day, but come to your heavenly Father and walk with him. Cypress, Siena, downtown, Luke. Digital family, let's all give an applause for that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you on this Mother's Day, Lord, that you are not slow as some consider slow, but with you, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. And so, Lord, we trust in you, God. And on this Mother's Day, Lord, whether it's a hallelujah or a hurt, we pray, Father, that we would all, male and female, old and young, closer to the omega of our life or closer to the alpha of our life, we would keep your word, come to our Father in heaven and walk with you. That's what our mama wants on earth, and that's what our Father wants in heaven. So we come to you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, just simply turn to him. There'll be folks at every campus to help you. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. You could pray right where you are and just say, Jesus, forgive my sins. You're coming soon. And I want to be with you when you go to heaven. Take me to heaven. You just pray and just ask Jesus to forgive your sins. Trust in his cross and his grace. If you're a believer in Christ, is heaven inspiration for you? Or is it just a destination after you do all the earthly things you want to get done? Father, on this Mother's Day, we thank you that we have amazing women, moms. And we all come and say thank you for our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.